4, Psalm 144. Great crowd this evening. Good to see you here. Psalm 144. And we'll read the whole chapter. Hope we've had a good week thus far. Looking forward to a great rest of the week. And hopefully tonight doesn't ruin it for you, right? Amen. hope you pray for Pastor and his family as they're away. Hope you pray for Pastor every day. Find ways to be an encouragement to your pastor. I'd strongly encourage you to do that and continue to pray for he and his family. Pray that God gives them rest and a good time together as a family, and that'd be great. Thankful for the privilege that God has given my wife and I to work with the teens and families here at this church and with such a great church family. We're grateful for the privilege and opportunity, and what a privilege it is to simply invest in eternity, knowing that people that we're working with and things, it's exciting seeing how God is working in their lives, and it's not anything that we've done at all. It's all the Lord, and very grateful for that privilege. Listen, God's doing a great work at this church. It's exciting thinking about 235 years. That's obviously, that doesn't happen much in our world. A church that's been around that long, still keeping a good testimony, that hasn't slid from biblical truths and doctrines and things. But may we never get settled, and may we never slow down. May we always keep that pedal to the metal. May we keep pressing on for God, and may we not get comfortable. I hope you never get used to people getting saved. I hope you get excited about that. I hope you never lose that excitement. I hope you, when you see people get baptized like we saw this Sunday, I hope that just stirs something up in your heart. It's exciting seeing how God is continuing to reach people through the life and ministry of this church. And listen, God's given our pastor a great burden for souls, and all of us should have a burden for souls. He's given our pastor a lot of direction and vision for this church, and I hope that as a church member, you determine to stand beside our pastor, to uplift his arms, just like Aaron and Hur did with Moses. And may we continue to go forward for the cause of Christ. Just to give you a little update about our family, I cannot believe it's been 5 years. Brother Gary mentioned that we've been here for a little while. But again, grateful for the privilege to be here. I hope you pray for us. We've got about roughly a little over 4 weeks, and baby number 2 is coming to a household near you. Actually, it's our household, but cannot believe it. Seems like we just found out, and now it's, oh, hey, we've got a month, and we're going to have a baby in the house. So needless to say, there's lots of work going on in the man household, and we're trying to prepare Carter. I don't know if you can ever do that completely and have them completely ready, but we're learning a lot of things about parenting, and very grateful for the privilege to raise children. And pray for us that God help us to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pray for my wife as she's about to deliver this baby. And if you haven't heard yet, we are having a boy, having another boy. His name is Paxton Lucas. And again, Lord willing, we should have him here within about 4 weeks. Carter was about 10 days late, so we're not holding our breath on that 4 weeks number that they've given us. But please pray for us that God would bless in that birth and delivery and all those kind of things, and that would be great. Thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. And this is a message that God's laid on my heart for a long time. It's a message about teenagers. Go figure, right? A youth director share a message about teenagers. But this is something that the Lord's laid in my heart. I first brought to my attention when I was in Bible college, sitting in a youth class where Scott Pauley was talking about this. And ever since then, God has been using it in my heart and mind, and just thinking about teenagers and our responsibility, not just teenagers, but children as well, our responsibility to rear them in the correct way. And take a look at verse number 1 in Psalm 144. And again, we'll read this whole chapter. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them, shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children." By the way, that's not talking about the teenagers, okay? Just want to clear that up. Verse number 8, "Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, while I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is the people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Tonight I'd like to draw your attention to verse number 12. Again, speaking about this younger generation, speaking about children, speaking about teenagers. Again, verse number 12, the Bible says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. The title of my message tonight comes directly from this verse, a thought from this verse. The title is Pruning and Polishing. Pruning and Polishing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity tonight to gather together as a local assembly of baptized believers. Lord, we're thankful for this church. We're thankful for the freedom to be able to worship you in this country. Think about these missionaries that are all around the world. Think about the Phillips family and the Tolson family and the great work that you're using them in their countries. And I pray that you continue to bless them. And Lord, help us to do our part here in the United States and to truly stand up for what's right. I pray that you help us to stand firm on God's word and speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to see something that we can apply to our lives and help us to leave here changed, we pray. We thank you again for all you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as introduction is concerned, let me just kind of go, starting from verse number 1, jump all the way through up to verse number 12, just kind of hitting each verse as we go, just to kind of explain exactly what's going on here. King David is writing, and basically as he's writing this chapter, he's writing many, many thoughts of thanks towards God. He's praying throughout this chapter. You see many, many times that he asks for deliverance. He is thanking God for what God's already done for him. Take a look in verse number 1. We see David, who is the king, giving thanks to God for being his strength. We see him also given strength as thanks as his teacher and his commander as well. David, you look at David's life and he begins this whole chapter by talking about war, by talking about battle. Well, David wasn't exactly raised up to be a warrior. He wasn't exactly raised up to be a soldier. He goes from being a little shepherd boy and then thrown into the battle, which of course he allowed God to use him, and he stood up for the right thing. He said, "Is there not a cause?" He didn't want Goliath mocking God anymore. So God made him into a soldier, and he realized in this chapter we see reflected here that he knew it was nothing that he did, but all what God had done. It wasn't his marksmanship that hit Goliath right in the right spot. No, it was God that directed that stone. God gave him wisdom. God gave him the boldness to stand up in front of Goliath. So we see that in verse number 1. Verse 2, we see King David is thanking God for his goodness. And may we never cease to do that. May we always keep a spirit of gratefulness in front of us. May we continue to thank God for what he's already done for us. Thanking him for every breath that you've taken today, every step that you've taken, eyes to see and ears to hear and legs to walk and all these things that we often take for granted. May we, like David, thank God for his goodness. He's also expressing in verse number 2 his thanks to the Lord for being his fortress, his high tower, his deliverer, his shield, and for being the one in whom he trusts. Verses 3 and 4, David reveals his humility, and he also speaks of the brevity of life. Listen, life is short, and we must live our lives for God. Life's too short to live for ourselves. We must completely give ourselves to him. Verses 5 and 6, we see the words that are assembled together to paint a picture for us that reveal God's almighty power and God's almighty strength. And you can see those words presented in verses 5 and 6. Verses 7 and 8, David is praying to God again for deliverance from danger and also from his enemies as well. Take a look in verse number 9. King David here is again directing his attention to the worship of God as he exalts the Lord through the avenues of singing and instrumental music. And thank the Lord for good music that worships God, that praises God, and that gives him honor and glory. Verse number 10, David is once again acknowledging the almighty hand of God who is able to deliver us from our enemies. No matter what situation you're going through, God is able. And we've seen that a number of times all throughout the words of Scripture. In verses 11 through 14, we begin to see a different type of scene unfold. We're drawn to see more of the heart of this noble king. We see here that David is expressing his love for his people. And David truly loved his people, and we see that not just in this chapter, but all throughout the Psalms and a number of other passages as well. But these four verses, verses 11 through 14, these will be the bulk of the message tonight. And may we allow our attention to be captivated just for a few minutes so we may see the heart of the king, but more importantly, that we may see God's heart in this matter. That we can see, hey, what does God want me to learn from this? How can I apply this to my life? How can I change due to this message? So may we see God's heart in this. David is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he relays to us an observation of his kingdom. It's almost as if he's standing at his royal palace. He's looking out and observing some things and noticing some things that need changed. And here God starts to impress some things on his heart. And here he sees the great need of training the younger generation. He reveals his burden for the sons and daughters of the land, those who are the youth of the land, to be drawn closer to the Lord. We see this same emphasis all throughout Scripture a number of different times. Christ himself was a great example of reaching children. Suffer the little children to come unto me. He didn't turn children away. He brought them unto himself. And may we constantly be reaching children, reaching teenagers, reaching anyone that we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. With that said, I'm just going to kind of pause for a minute here. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be in our Bible clubs in these public schools. It's exciting seeing how God's working in these schools this year. Just Tuesday, this is our second week at Indian Trail Middle School. It's actually an intermediate school. It's fifth and sixth graders, all the fifth and sixth graders in Johnson City. Kids just kept pouring in and pouring in and pouring in, hearing the gospel in their public school. It's exciting. And I hope you'll continue to pray that God would leave that door open, at the same time, open more doors of opportunity within these public schools. We're currently in four schools right now and getting ready to get into another one, hopefully. And so continue to pray for those Bible clubs. But here again, David is seeing the need to train the younger generation. Take a look in verse number 11. The Bible says, "Rid me and delivered me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." David is speaking to God Almighty and once again repeats his prayer of deliverance that was previously seen in verses 7 and 8. This prayer was for deliverance from the hand of strange children. Now again, some of you might be thinking, that's my kid right there. Might as well put their name in. No, it's not talking about strange children as far as weird kids or anything like that. Not at all. This phrase, strange children, is referring to those people who were enemies of God, those people who were against Israel, those people who were ungodly people, those people who had no cares at all for the things of God. So these were simply those who were, no matter how old or how young, were the enemies of God at this time. These people could not be trusted because their mouth spoke vanity, as the Bible says here in verse number 11. They could not be trusted because they lived lives that were lying, lives full of lying, deceit, and falsehood as well. And David, again, is praying for deliverance of his people from these strange children and from ungodly influences. And may we do the same thing with our children, with this younger generation. Pray that God would safeguard them as they're going to school, as they're going throughout their day. Pray that God would keep a hedge of protection over them to help them to stand up for the right thing, to keep a good testimony in their school, on their ball team, in their neighborhoods. May we constantly pray for that. Now let's jump into verse number 12. Again, this is the main meat of our message tonight. verse number 12, this verse is only part of a sentence which actually spans from verses 11 all the way down to verse 14. Each of these four verses could be easily a message in themselves, but again, want to concentrate on this one thought tonight, give you one piece of meat to chew on a little bit and something to take home with you and think about a little bit more. This is basically like a jewel that's kind of tucked into the mine of Scripture here in Psalm chapter 144, and we'll kind of examine one of the facets of that jewel a little bit tonight. Take a look at verse number 12 once again. Think about the words that David is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says again, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. What a beautiful picture here. Just to give you a great illustration of what God wants for young people, an illustration of what it means to be a godly young man, of what it means to be a godly young lady, and we'll kind of pick this apart a little bit, examine these words and things here. First thing, there's two groups of people mentioned within this verse. Obviously, we see sons and we see daughters. Okay, raise your hand if you're a son. Raise your hand if you're a daughter. All right, so not only does this apply to the younger generation, this applies to everyone. We are all sons, we are all daughters of someone. And so first thing here, the first group of people that we see is the sons. Okay, so point number one for the message tonight is our sons. It's extremely important for men to be leaders. And thus David begins by speaking about the young men, the sons of the nation of Israel. Here he gives an illustration about how the boys and the young men should live their lives. Letter A under point number one, he says that our sons may be as plants. Now, if it were me writing this, I don't know if I would have used the illustration of plants, but God knew exactly what he's doing. And a lot of times we think in our finite minds, well, I could have illustrated that better. There's nothing better than the Word of God. There's nothing better than what God has in store for us and his plan for our life. But again, he says that our sons may be as plants. Plants play a very important role in our world. Plants produce oxygen. I was doing a little bit of research about plants today, and by no means am I a botanist at all. Like my friend Evan here. Evan's a botanist sometimes, you know. Just kidding. We mess around a lot. he picks on me, I pick on him, right? Probably he more than me. But again, plants produce oxygen. Plants are a picture of growth. Most plants are vibrant in color and have all sorts of uses like medicinal purposes, food, fuel, and on we could go. Plants are a very important part of our world. He says here that our sons may be as plants. Now, obviously, he's not talking about dead plants. He's talking about living plants that that have purpose, that have meaning. So we see letter A under point number one, our sons, that they may be as plants. Letter B, King David specifically says that they need to be as plants grown up. They need to be growing. By no means am I a botanist. Again, everyone knows that in order for a plant to grow, there's several things that are of utmost importance. The first thing that's important for a plant to grow, it must be planted. Okay, more than likely, if you simply hold a seed in your hand or just tuck it away somewhere, it's probably not going to grow. It needs to be planted. Number two underneath this, underneath letter B, not only does it need to be planted, it needs to be planted in good soil. Now, can you have a seed grow in soil that's not good? Yes, depending on the conditions, depending on the circumstances. But most of the time, 9 times out of 10, you need to have a plant that is rooted in good soil, soil that has the proper nutrients, soil that can nourish that plant and allow it to grow. So number three, underneath letter B, as far as our sons being plants that have grown up, number three, the plants need water, okay? Number four, plants need sunlight. Number five, plants need oxygen. Number six, some plants need pruning. And that's the part that we don't like a whole lot. Teenagers, when mom and dad are trying to help you along, trying to encourage you, trying to say, hey, don't go here, don't do this. They're trying to put that hedge of protection about you. That's part of the pruning process. And that process is never easy. Not easy for the parents, not easy for the teenagers as well. But that is a very important process, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Letter C underneath point number one. So we've seen that point number one is our sons, that they may be as plants grown up, and the last thing we see is in their youth. It's important to help and nurture plants at a young age. Think about just my life growing up. We lived in a farmhouse, didn't necessarily farm. We didn't have acreage in order to do that, but we raised chickens a little bit and all this kind of stuff. Dad had some fruit trees that he planted out in the front part of the property, and in order to get fruit trees to grow, there's a lot of work that takes place. And honestly, I didn't realize how much work took place. The pruning process, but before you even get to that, before the growth is even seen, before the fruit is even seen, just a matter of, hey, putting some wires and ropes around these and staking them to the ground so they grow straight, putting guards around the bottom of them so nothing attacks them, so the rabbits don't eat at the bark and all this kind of stuff, keeping bugs away, all that kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff that goes into raising fruit trees, and we didn't have a huge orchard or anything like that, but I learned a lot through that. Dad would take these little fertilizer spikes and drive them into the ground to help to nourish those trees and to help them to grow quicker, and all this kind of stuff went into nurturing these young trees. And the same thing goes with children, with teenagers, with young adults. It's important to help to nurture these young plants. Sometimes plants need to be placed in a greenhouse so that they can get a good start. And you walk into a greenhouse and things flourish in a greenhouse because they're in a more perfect environment. You've got harmful rays from the sun that are filtered out, and they're getting the right amount of light that they need, and they're getting extra oxygen and all these kind of things. So sometimes A young plant needs to be placed in a greenhouse. If you plant a young tree, again, you might have to tie it off to something in order for it to grow straight, to grow in the proper way. I was thinking about this thought earlier. It's easier to control a sapling at a young age than it is to redirect the growth of a seasoned oak tree. Think about that. A quote that I'll never forget, I learned at a camp that I was working at in Indiana. It's Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp in Dillsboro, Indiana. They have this phrase that's back behind the pulpit that says this: it's easier to build boys and girls than to repair men and women. And that's a great statement. It's not impossible to repair men and women, but it's a whole lot easier when you start as children. It's a whole lot easier when you start at a young age, pruning them and giving them the right nutrients that they need, training them in godly things. Okay, so we must work at teaching boys and young men to become like growing plants and to become godly men. I'm thankful for the godly influences in my life. I would not be here today had it not been for many men and ladies as well in my life who have helped to prune my life, who have helped to help me to get to where I am. Thinking about my parents most of all, seeing how mom and dad, again, put a hedge of protection about us, but at the same time challenged us to study God's word, to know not just what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. And that's so important. The day and age that we live in, teenagers are constantly being attacked on every side, being pulled so many different ways and being tempted in so many different ways. It's important to know why you believe what you believe, to truly be grounded on the Word of God. So point number one, we saw our sons. Point number two, moving right along, we see our daughters. And this is the second, the last point here, the last major point, and we'll probably get done a little bit early tonight. But our daughters, the Bible says, that they may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Letter A under point number two, our daughters, is as cornerstones. They are to be as cornerstones. Cornerstones are an important part of a building. What is the purpose of a cornerstone? A cornerstone, or the foundation stone concept, is derived from the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. Important since all the other stones will be set in reference to this particular stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. So the cornerstone is extremely important because everything else is built around that. And again, this is from my studies. I'm not a contractor or a builder by any means, but this makes sense. In the given simile here, we see that daughters are to be as cornerstones. So what exactly does this mean? Over in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 20, the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So if the Bible is saying that our daughters need to be as cornerstones, like cornerstones, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, thus saying our daughters and our sons as well need to be Christ-like in every single thing that they do. Need to be Christ-like and need to be taught how to be Christ-like in the things we do, in the things we say, the places we go. Everything we do should reflect a spirit, a sense of Jesus Christ. Okay? So letter B, underneath point number two, we're talking about our daughters tonight. Not only should they be cornerstones, this is not your average cornerstone. This is not just a rock that's been thrown down. This is not just a big piece of granite that is determining the rest of the building. But the Bible says that they should be polished. The stone mentioned here is not something rough or abrasive. These daughters, these young ladies, these cornerstones, they should be polished. This is not only an inward polishing, but an outward polishing as well. The Holy Spirit speaks of the daughters as precious stones, cornerstones, in fact, that are to be used not for some ordinary building or structure, but they are to be like cornerstones that have been chiseled and polished like a palace. Now you think about the palaces or the buildings mentioned in the Bible. These were not just tiny little places. You think about Solomon and the temples and all these kind of huge, extravagant places that are mentioned all throughout the Bible. These, again, were not places that were just dull and boring. They were beautiful. They took time. They were pristine. They were clean all the time, inside and out. These were beautiful places. And the Bible says here that young ladies should be polished after the similitude or similar to a palace. And that's extremely important. Again, you won't find many flaws in the building and decor of a palace. Everything is kept in check and is pristine. Just think about different places that I've been to. How many of you have been to the Biltmore Estate? not exactly a palace per se, it was someone's home, but you think about all the detailed architecture there, all the woodwork and all kinds of stuff, that all the work that went into building this place, and again, it's spotless anytime you go in there. Think about, we just got back from England in the summertime. We did not get to go in Buckingham Palace, but just seeing the outside of it, you know this place is just amazing. I mean, you see all the scroll work and things on the outside and all the fancy soffits and all this kind of stuff, and it's amazing how God compares young ladies to a palace and how they should be not only presented right on the outside, but right on the inside as well, having a clean heart, having a heart that is pleasing to God and truly polished, as the Bible says here. In conclusion, again, we've seen a beautiful word picture that's been painted all across the canvas of Scripture tonight. We've seen how God has giving us this idea. He's given us this thought. He has revealed this to David as far as with his kingdom. But how can we apply this to our lives? Young men and young ladies, how can you leave here changed tonight by hearing this message? Some of our seasoned church members that have been here for a long time, you say, well, I don't have children in the house. How can this apply to me? We can all learn something from this passage of Scripture tonight. Parents, the question for you, the question for all of us, is what is our desire for our children? Is our desire for our children for them to earn a big paycheck when they graduate, to have a successful job, quote unquote? Or is it for them to do exactly what God wants for their life? Now, that could be a job where they're doing very well successfully as far as financially and all these kind of things, but may we constantly seek to do God's will for our life. May we constantly seek for His direction and not just our own. And it's easy to set goals for our life and say, hey, this is what I want to do, but make sure that your goals line up with God's will for your life. So as parents, again, I'm speaking to myself right now. I know I don't have a teenager in the home, but soon enough, it seems. It's amazing how almost 3 years have flown by and Carter's growing up quick. But just thinking about my life, my prayer for my little boy, for my two little boys, is that they would be as plants grown up in their youth, grounded, rooted in Jesus Christ, realizing that, hey, there's no better thing in this world than to serve God with my life, whatever that may be. God might call them to be carpenters. God might call them to do something, some other thing. But I want to encourage them and emphasize to them as a father to stay in line with God's will and to follow His will for their life. The ultimate responsibility for teaching children is given by God to us parents. And may we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, maybe your children are grown, no longer in the home. What is your desire for the next generation? There's a lot of things that God has laid in my heart just as the youth director. Pastor and I have talked about many of these things. I've talked with some of our youth workers about some things. I would love to see, again, maybe your children have grown and they're out of the house and they've got families of their own, and maybe you have grandchildren and things like that. I would love to see some of this older generation step in and say, hey, I want to take one of these teenagers, I want to take one of these children under my wing and disciple them and encourage them and help them to become like plants, like these cornerstones that the Bible talks about here. I would love to see a number of families. We have several kids that come in faithfully in teen church from our bus ministry. I would love to see a number of people just take some of these kids, take some of these families under their wing and say, hey, I want to, quote unquote, adopt you. I want to help you. I want to encourage not just the teenager, but the family as a whole. This is a family ministry. That's something that, again, God has laid in my heart. Thinking about, hey, we might have somebody that lives within a mile or two from your house. Instead of just driving all the way to church with just your family, why not swing by and pick somebody up? Swing by and pick up that teenager. I think about some of our teens that have been coming on Sunday nights and things because of people who have made it a point to go out of their way and to pick them up, to encourage them, and to help them become like plants, like these cornerstones that the Bible's talking about here. David is writing again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's examining his kingdom. He's not necessarily speaking of his own children, but of the younger generation as a whole. And think about other examples in the Bible. Paul had a son in the faith. Christian, who is your Timothy? Who is that person that you're training right now? That person that you've adopted into your family? Who could you swing by and pick up for church on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Who could you encourage? Who are you training? Who could you prune? Who are we helping to chisel and to polish within this younger generation? God is pleased when we are truly being obedient to Him. We need children and teens in this world that are being trained by faithful, godly servants to search the Scriptures so that they can learn to stand firm on the Word of God, to develop biblical convictions, and not just hold to the tradition of the elders, as the Bible says. And there are children and teens that enter the doors of this church every single week who need someone to, again, quote-unquote, adopt them. Who's it going to be? It's easy to stand around and say, well, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of it. Let's all take the reins of this horse and say, I will do it. My family, we're going to start praying that God would give us someone. Like Pastor's been challenging you, Brother Gary mentioned tonight. Let's all work hard. This church birthday, it's an easy time to invite people to come. Get them here first and then pray that God would continue to help you to influence their lives and to help not just young people, but anyone to grow closer to the Lord. And by the way, with all this said, I'm grateful for our faithful youth workers, our Sunday school teachers, those who are teaching in teen Sunday school. You're doing an outstanding job. I appreciate your hard work and want to encourage you to continue what you're doing. Continue reaching out to those teens and those children. Continue to encourage so-and-so to come to this youth activity and be here for visitation. And hey, I want you to work on a bus route and things like that. I want you to encourage you to keep up the good work. Again, there's more families all around the Tri-Cities that need someone to reach out to them. There's families that are coming already here to this church that need somebody to say, hey, you know what, let me take you out to lunch. Let me encourage you a little bit. Hey, let's try to get so-and-so here for Sunday night. Let's try to get them here for Wednesday night. Get them involved in this truth program that's starting up here in a few weeks and get them to work hard at maybe trying to go on this mission trip that our teens take every year because it'll be a life-changing trip. And hey, let's work hard to try to get your teenager to go to camp. And I know that you maybe you don't have a church you attend. Let's bring this teenager along and try to get him here for camp. Think about this. Again, a message that God has laid on my heart for a long time. God has given us a great responsibility. May we not neglect it. May we not be handed the ball and drop the ball. But may we press on for what God has done for us. May we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep running towards Him because He is the prize. God is the goal. But as we're running, may we look for people to help to bring along the way, to run with us. Think about this tonight, and I hope that the Lord spoke in your heart. I'd like for everyone to bow your head and close your eyes at this time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What has God spoken to you about tonight? We are all either sons or daughters. As a son, are you truly growing? And this growing process never stops. We should never stop reading God's Word. We should never stop praying. We should never stop witnessing and being faithful to church and tithing and all these kind of things. We should never stop that growth process. So every single son represented in this room tonight should be a growing son, should be like a plant that has grown up, especially if you're a younger person. This passage deals specifically with you because it mentions youth. Teenager, don't get to the place where you think, hey, I'm just a teenager, I can't do anything in this church. No, this is your church. God has given you the responsibility just as much as everyone else to reach and disciple people. May we have some young men who are like plants growing up in their youth. And also our prayer along with that, that we may have some daughters who are like cornerstones, solid, grounded on God's word. Not just rough cut stones, not just something that's thrown into a building, but something that is polished after the similitude of a palace. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who's not a Christian. Maybe they've been talking to those who are saved, those who know for sure they're going to heaven someday. Listen, if you have any questions at all, please come see us. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. If you have any questions, please come see us, and that'd be great. Again, if you are a Christian, what has God spoken to you about? Parents? I know God has spoken to me, hey, what are you doing with those little boys? One's on the way, one's almost 3 years old, soaking in everything he can. Teach him as much of God's word as you can. Pour into him your life. Help him to be a plant growing up in his youth. Faithful church member, whose children, maybe your children have grown up, moved out of the home. I want to encourage you, adopt another child. I'm not talking about going through all the legal process and all that kind of thing, but look for somebody in this church and say, hey, I want to do my best. I want to pour my life into that young man. I want to pour my life into that young lady. Let me say something. We've got a young lady right now that's got a desire to go to Bible college, comes in our bus ministry, who's going to help her? We're doing all we can to encourage her and to help her take the steps that she needs. But we need a family that's going to continue to take that family under their wing and say, hey, we want to help you. We want to encourage you. And a number of others. We've got some young men right now, some seventh grade boys who have just come in into the youth ministry that ride our buses that have just such a desire to learn God's word. Sunday morning is not enough. It'd be great to have some family say, hey, let's have your family come over for a Bible study, or let us come over to your house and study the Bible with you and encourage these kids to go to the Bible clubs at their schools, and a number of things that can be done to reach people, to train people. Teenager, guys specifically, are you truly growing? Ladies, are you like a cornerstone, solid, grounded, polished? Are you doing your part? Maybe there's somebody here tonight who's got a burden to work with teenagers. Maybe it's something that I don't know about. Maybe it's something that pastor's not aware of. Please come speak to us. We'd love to get you plugged in. There's plenty of things to do. We need people to pick up kids for Wednesday night and Sunday night, and folks to help with activities and soul winning and all kinds of stuff. Maybe you've got a burden for that. Maybe you feel deep down in your heart, hey, this is what God wants me to do. I think I can do this. I want to help to adopt some teenagers and train them, disciple them, and see God work in their lives. Again, whatever God's spoken to you about, may the Lord help us to deal with those things. Brother Gary.
Let's all stand together. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. God has spoken your heart. We'll sing, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Let me encourage you, there's all kinds of birthday invitations on the table. It's time to get at it. I know we've been talking about it for a while, and it's hard to push something a month away. We're a week and a half away now, so if you're going to do something, now is the time. So let me encourage you, take a handful, pray that God would lead you to somebody that needs to be here on the 14th, all right? Let's all do our part. If everyone does our part, we'll see God do some great things here at the church. Right? Lord, we do thank you for your word, and Lord, may you help all of us to allow you to prune our lives and polish our lives that we might be the kind of Christians you'd have us to be. Do pray specifically for our young people in our church, Lord, those who are in high school all the way down to preschool, God, that you would work in their hearts and lives, give them a heart for you. God, may the parents have wisdom in rearing these children, that they might rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that they might make right choices and to choose to serve you and be what you want them to be. Raise up a generation of young people who love you and are hungry to know God. Lord, continue to bless our week now, and again ask you to bless Pastor and his family. Give them a restful time as they're away from us. And may you bring us back together Sunday to worship you in spirit and in truth. We do pray for Carol tonight, that you would comfort her heart, guide and direct in the funeral arrangements there. And Lord, just continue to have your hand upon our church and our church families. In Jesus' name, amen.